Before Adam and Eve were created, that there were created beings with God, the angels. And in the Garden of Eden, we find out one of the angels who was there, a bad angel, a negative angel, which is really interesting because why would a created being ever think that it could compete with the one who made it? That the created being could be the creator of all things. Really wouldn't make much sense. And yet, somehow selfishness can take over. Because the Bible says, are not angels ministering spirits sent by God to serve those who are inheriting salvation? So even before Adam and Eve were created, that there were angels. And one of them was probably called in the Bible Lucifer. We know of Michael the archangel. We know of Gabriel the archangel. And it could very well have been that Lucifer was an archangel, but in the Bible it talks about how he himself wanted to make himself like the Most High God. So in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve are created, they're walking and they're talking and they're in fellowship with God. But the great sin called the fall happened because Adam and Eve chose to listen to a created being, an angel, more than listen to God. And I suppose if there is ever one sin that is the greatest sin of all, it is listening to another voice other than God. And that was their fall. While they were listening to God and in fellowship with God, everything was wonderful. And here comes this created being who thought that he himself could be God, who tricked and manipulated Adam and Eve. The difference between God and Satan is pretty obvious. Because with God, you are always in his best interest. You are always in the best interest of God. Whereas with Satan, he himself is his own best interest. And if he can use you to do what he wants, he will. Whereas with God, his words and his love for us is a priority. What's best for us? Whereas with Satan, it's what's best for him. And there's the difference. And all throughout the Bible, even from the very beginning, you have angels who sometimes just appear. In the book of Daniel, you have this powerful angel, Gabriel, whom we know from the New Testament, and Michael the archangel. And one of the interesting scriptures in the Bible is it talks about Gabriel and Michael always at war against Satan, Lucifer, the angel. But he was powerful enough too, Satan was powerful enough, that in fact, it talks about how powerful he was, that sometimes he's called the King of Tyre, or he's called the King of Babylon. Not that he ever was a King of Tyre or a King of Babylon, but that he influenced the government of both those countries to the point that he was called the King of them, influencing them such negative forces. He's also called the Prince of Persia or the Prince of Greece. But more than anything else in the New Testament, he's called the Prince of this world. That he still has influence on all of us. And very subtly does he work in our lives. Just to throw us off our train of thinking, off the way that we're supposed to think. In fact, that's what the Bible talks about in Romans 12. I appeal to you, it's God begging, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, meaning listening to God, that we honor God, listening to him, and that we be careful with how we think and what we think. Now, it's so interesting that when Jesus begins his ministry, Mark puts it clearly that as soon as Jesus started to teach, the first thing that happened was the demons, angels who followed Lucifer, the demons started to cry out because they knew who Jesus was and is and will always be. And with the word, Jesus would cast out those demons. Just a word, he would cast out those demons. So if anyone wanted to know God, what God looked like, what God sounded like, how God lived, they just follow Jesus. But the influence of Satan can be so subtle and so powerful that even people who lived with Jesus day after day after day could be thrown off by Satan himself. Because the story goes like this. As Jesus was on his way, getting closer to the cross, Jesus is with his disciples, his special band of people, whom he is asking to go into the world and share this wonderful story. And he's there, and Jesus asks the question to them. So, who do you think I am? But really before that, he asks, who do people say I am? And the people said, as Peter said, well, some people think that you're a prophet, that you're like Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then so Jesus asks them the question, okay, that's good. But what about you? Who do you think I am? And that's a question he asks each one of us. Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Lucifer is? Who do you think God is? And who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? And Peter, wanting to give this great announcement, said, well, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the one that we've always been looking for. And he said, okay, that's good. So here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. And 3 days later, I will rise again. That's what all the prophets said. That's what Moses said. That's what God intended, that this beautiful Lamb of God will be slaughtered for the sins of all the people. And Peter says, this will never happen to you. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You have been influenced by Lucifer. You have not been influenced by me. The subtle work of dark forces are still very much alive in this world. And what's important is to remember, God always has your best interest at heart. He's given you Jesus. Satan always has his best interest at heart. And if he can use you, he'll be glad to do it. Satan knows that his fate is sealed. That on Good Friday at 6 p.m., all the principalities and dark forces of this world had been defeated. And Satan knew it. And on resurrection morning, when Jesus came out of the grave, that the new world has already started. And it's so much in its infancy, moving toward the culmination of all things. So what is Satan going to do? Even though he knows he's defeated, he's going to keep working on each one of us. Why? Even if he knows he's ultimately defeated, why? Because that's what a selfish person does. Even if I know my end is going to end, even if I know my end is going to end, even if I know it, with Satan, the most important person is himself. Whereas with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus living in us, we know that we live for him and for each other and for the ones who would come. So in the great Revelation scene, there is this story of persecuted Christians who are calling out to God, but they know their victory because it says this, they overcame the world by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony, what they spoke, what they said. And listen to this. And they did not love their lives so much as to even shrink from death. If it meant my life was to be given for the sake of Christ, that's fine, because my life is in Christ anyway. And I'll have life in him forevermore. So even in this world today, although that there are these movies that kind of grab our attention because they just yank on our emotions and all these negative things, even to this day, even though it's been 40 years in the past, the scariest movie voted by all people of all time has always been The Exorcist because of all the craziness of it all. And somehow, if we could just grab our emotions and see this, but one of those things that movie did and still accomplishes is great fear. But with God, there's no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That we can rest comfortably in his presence, knowing that he did not create us to live the way Satan has chosen to live. And I have no idea. It's never made any sense to me. Why would an angel created by God not just simply enjoy what he was created to be, instead somehow thought that he himself could become God? But you know, even in our lives, we have that choice to make. Will we choose to listen to God, who always has our best interest at stake, or do we choose to go our own way, separate and apart from him? Because if we do that, then all of us as created beings are more interested in us as a created being than the creator who created us and chose us to live to save this world. How do we overcome? The same way, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony, and that we give ourselves to Christ Jesus. Amen.